Kobi Matthys is an artist from Belgium. He lives and works in Brussels, the capital of Belgium, and a center of government for the European Union. His art focuses on urbanism and the use of space and property, especially the ways that people use property and space for different purposes other than the ones they were intended. Kobi is also an activist in the global justice movement. He does a lot of work with illegal immigrants in Brussels, helping them through the labyrinthine processes required to get legal papers. He specifically works with a project called Universal Embassy. It's a place where illegal immigrants who are seeking to become legal can live in a community with other people in the same situation. Universal Embassy provides a free place to live, help with basic needs like food, and legal assistance from volunteer lawyers. It is run entirely by volunteers and is not very popular with the Belgian government. One of the most interesting things about Universal Embassy is its location, the inactive Somali embassy in Brussels. As Kobi will explain, the local government in Brussels and even the Belgian government have no legal right to evict them from this location. The Somalis cannot use the embassy because there is no internationally recognized Somali government right now. And the local Somali community is not opposed to Universal Embassy staying there and using the building and keeping it in clean and good working order. I interviewed Kobi while he was in Los Angeles as an artist in residence at the Schindler Foundation. He talked about Universal Embassy and about changes in European Union policies that are making it harder than ever before for people displaced by globalization to migrate into Western Europe. He also talked about other organizations that are part of a continent-wide movement to help immigrants.
Now, the Universal Embassy is a place in Brussels where people that are either illegal and are willing to go through a legalization procedure, or people under a legalization procedure, they come together and they go together through this procedure, because it's a very long and difficult procedure. It often takes 2 or 3 years, and it's a moment where people are completely in between two phases in their life, because before they were plain illegals, so it means they had a kind of invisible life, but there's a way of surviving in this kind of so-called black life, because you can rent in black, work in black, you can do basically everything in black. There's channels and ways of surviving in this way. And as long as everything, if you're lucky, you don't have so much problems in this way and you can stay for a few years. But if you want to get to another level, or if something goes wrong, you easily become a victim, because you don't have any form of legal rights if you stay as an illegal. People who are trying to get legal papers, they shift, they want to shift to another life, but the procedure is like very terrible, and it's very long. There's no way that the government will support you during the time you're under, you know, this procedure. So basically, you have to apply for it through the city mayor, and it's called Article 9.3 in Belgium now, and then the mayor applies to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs if he can get a citizenship for you based on the fact that you're living longer than 5 years in Belgium as an illegal, and you have to give a record of proofs of being able, since of being in Brussels or Belgium since 5 years. And so to collect those traces, also to know the whole legal procedure, it's not so easy. Because if you make small mistakes, you just lose. If you want to become legal, you become visible, and if they refuse you to become a citizen, of course they know how to throw you out because they know how to find you. So in a way, those people, they give up a lot of their protection that they had before. And so this in-between phase, it's a kind of, I call it like a gray moment in their life, where they basically have to wait for 2 or 3 years, and they cannot work as an illegal, and of course they don't have the paper yet to work as a legal, and so they're basically without any income. And if they work in black, they risk the procedure. And so if they live 2 or 3 years without any income, how are they supposed to, you know, pay rent? And if you want to have a regularization procedure, then you need an address. Residence is always based on an address. So many of those people that are actually under those procedures, they have problems in terms of having a fixed address, because often they're like homeless and they just have addresses somewhere, like at their family members or friends, but also often those are illegal, so they put at risk and so on and so on. Out of all these problems came this place, Universal Embassy, where actually people, they can access quite easily the information of how to get legalized. There's a group of lawyers that are supporting them. And also they learn a lot one from another, because often they don't speak like the local language, which means that they, for example, there's a lot of Moroccan origin, and they can talk in their own Arab language about those things among each other, which is always better. And there's about 30 people that are living there now, and they all are under a procedure of legalization. So they basically, they're given an address in this way, legal support, and some kind of a community feeling, because they all go through the same thing. And now if you are an illegal and you want to get legal papers, you feel really like a victim for 2 or 3 years, because you can not do anything, you have no income, and so it's easier for them to run through this whole thing together than just alone. I used to live, or I still live, in a neighborhood in Brussels, which is called the Beguinage. It's a kind of, in the Middle Ages, when women were, they lost their husband, or a married woman, they barely had a place in society, and they were often a victim of all kinds of crimes, etc. And then the cities, they started to organize small towns within the town for those women with very small houses, and they would be very productive in like spinning or weaving or lace, and they're called beguines. And it was one of like the earliest forms of social housing in a way. Anyway, in this neighborhood has a very strong social or solidarity from within, you know, through its history, and it's a rather progressive neighborhood where a lot of immigrants live and a lot of young people. And the church in this neighborhood was almost empty, but they have a very progressive priest also, who put his church open in the beginning, or like no mid 90s for people without papers, and there was a whole movement and activity of illegals around that church and in that neighborhood. And the city, the mayor of the city, didn't like it so much because it's really an old town center. There were a lot of problems in town, and eventually the church burned down, and nobody knows actually for which reasons. And so I had many friends who were living in the church. They would go to Ramadan, but inside the church, which was a very special experience, because you know they didn't eat when it's daylight during the Ramadan, and so they were just most of the time just sleeping, or you know, because they don't have a lot to do, you know, just, so they just sit in together and they just keep on discussing, thinking about liberty, and you know, they're very stimulating because you're with a group of people going through the same thing, and you have actually time to do it because you don't have to work, you know, or you don't have to take care of your kids or something, because most of them, they're all single. And so they pass the Ramadan discussing inside this church, and then they would have to stop their discussion because there was a funeral, because they would have to, they would live on the site in tents, but the church still remained its activity. So and then it was like a priest coming in saying, "Now you have to be a little quiet because you know it's a funeral or it's a wedding, you know."